flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sometimes it's just timing. It's timing the team. I mean, a lot of those Warrior reserves, Barbosa, a lot of them are like...
I had him down, Sean Livingston
they're
down.
They're more popular than their numbers is, I think, what we're kind of getting at. And this is, that's, by the way, if you're just joining us, this is kind of inspired by Kevon Looney and the possibility that his time as a Warrior is coming to an end because he fits right into this.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Had some huge, huge moments specifically in the postseason, but never been like a double-double guy, never averaged a double-double, never been an all-star. Kind of been disrespected around the league.
In the last year and a half, he was a guy who...
In and out of the rotation.
Yeah, like he had to take some DNPs.
Yeah.
Lucas, what's up?
I went a different direction in trying to answer this question because
okay.
I want to go for swagger, even if the player isn't...
That's so you.
Yeah, thank
go
you.
Go ahead.
Why? Because I just drip and swag.
Yeah, you're just such a swagger type of a guy.
Thank you. There are plenty of options, but the guy I settled on... Again, Giants, and when I was younger, Fred Lewis, just standing in the outfield with the incredible glasses. He just looked like he was going to be a consistent all-star.
Remember when he hit for the cycle that one time?
Who could forget it?
Yeah.
Fred Lewis. There was also Darren Lewis before him. Both of them were like exciting young outfielders at a certain point that didn't really ever kind of fully step into it.
Oh, what was this guy's name? Oh, the 2010 Giants season... He was in AAA, and he was the fastest dude ever, and he would come in and steal second base immediately, and then he'd get, like, he would only come in to pinch run, and it happened, like, 3 times.
Oh.
He made an incredible...
Is it Darren Ford?
Darren Ford.
Ford.
Remember Darren Ford?
Yes.
It's a pasta special back here.
There we go. Thank you, Steven.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We're having a little quick aside, some fun here. Your favorite Bay Area sports athlete who never really put up numbers. And then, speaking of numbers, make sure that you have the contest line number handy soon. Remember, we're going to give you out the keyword that you need to claim a spot in the knockout tournament on the Chase Center floor in just about 10 minutes. So keep listening. Don't call anything now. Just stay right where you are and be listening. Within the next 10 minutes, we will give out today's keyword. Let's go to Matt in Los Altos. Hi, Matt. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, first of all, Willard, happy birthday, late.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it, Matt.
I actually just turned 50 a month before you, and I went to Cal Poly, too, so it's kind of interesting paths here.
We're in alignment, Matt. How is being 50? I've only been there for 7 days. Is it okay?
Yeah, I can be a month into your future and tell you things are going pretty good. Things haven't changed much in the sports world, though. So
that's true. That's true. But, like, do your legs hurt or are you all right?
Yeah, a little slower getting out of bed, but you'll be all right.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, we'll do it. Okay, what's up, Matt? Who you got?
Well, similar because age-wise, I have very similar. Uribe, the Giants were big for me in the 80s. A couple names that I loved was Mike Aldretti in 87 was just one of those guys that came in and was fantastic.
I have such an Aldretti story,
I'll
but go ahead.
Diving catch.
That's a great pull, Matt.
The diving catch at the warning track in 87 was one of my favorite moments as a Giants fan.
Yep.
And then early 80s, one of the best pinch hitters ever was Chris Spr. The guy came in every time and was clutch.
Yes, and Chris Sp];has a long, long history with the Giants organization, both as a player and a coach. Matt, thanks, man. Happy belated birthday to you, too. Mike Aldretti, do you even know that name?
I know the name, but I don't know anything about him.
Mike Aldretti was, like cup of coffee as like this really good young player, and then it just kind of fizzled a little bit. It's almost like a very, very light version of Kevin Moss with the Yankees. I don't know if you remember that.
But I do.
Like, came up, it popped, he was 300 hitter, and then it just didn't really last. But you know what Mike did have going for him?
What?
Mike was a good-looking dude. Mike was a good-looking dude. And so my mom had the biggest crush on Mike Aldretti to the point where, and you know, as a little kid, you don't even understand these things. I'm like, I think mom likes Mike Aldretti. Dad, mom likes Mike Aldretti. and she would just be like, oh, tell me when Mike's up. I'll come sit down and watch, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But for Mother's Day one year, because I was a card collector, I think I went to one of the Bay Area card shops. We used to have these card shops. Like, there's kind of few and far between now. They've kind of died. But you go to the baseball card shop, and they had these little framed pictures of the local players. And there was an 8x10 up close of that good-looking man, Mike Aldretti. Mm. And I saved up my money, and I bought it for my mom for Mother's Day. And she took it out of the frame and, like, slid it onto her, like, mirrored closet in her bedroom. So, like, I went 3 years of childhood, like, just a picture of Mike Aldretti on my mom's mirror in her room. Which is, like, the most random thing of all time. Yeah. But, you know, that's what we did.
Yeah.
Mike Aldretti.
Can I give you a random one? So this is like the very, very beginning of my Giants fandom. I couldn't even explain why. He just always stood out to me, and I love the dude. Benito Santiago.
Oh, man, he was a great catcher.
Early 2000s.
Yes.
Obviously, he had a great career. Wasn't really ever like amazing with the Giants.
He was getting old.
It was the tail end of his career.
Yep.
And I know he had a really, really incredible career. But as a Giant, wasn't anything crazy special. Was obviously on some pretty good teams. But for whatever reason, I was always drawn to Benito Santiago.
Benito kind of revolutionized the catcher position because he was a slender guy.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of like those like different stances behind the plate before anybody else did them. And so, you know, he had just an absolute hose for an arm behind the plate, and he would put pressure on base runners out there. That's a good pull. Good Lord, there's a lot of people. You all want to throw your people out there. Is it Ivan or Yvonne in West Oakland? Ivan, you there?
Hey. Yeah, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it's Ivan, Yvonne, you know, it's the infamous one. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to chime in and say Kyle Juszczyk. How's anybody missing that guy? He rarely touches the ball. When he does, he gets the first down. And that's what he's used for mostly. And the whole faithful, you know, yells, shoot, you know. So, you know, that's one of my guys right there.
Ivan, I love it. And thank you for the call. Yeah, as we mentioned about 5-10 minutes ago, if you've got a you got an ooh in your name. Like, that's step one to being the fan favorite. Uribe, Juice, Looney, any of those. How about Mohammed in Oakland? Hi, Mohammed. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
What's up?
All right. You know what? I have a couple of trade Buddy is, but first I think we should trade Buddy Hield. Too turnover prone, man.
Well, you know, it's always fun when people want to trade someone because he's not playing well, and I always answer the same way. You know those other GMs, they've got TVs, Mohammed. They can see... Like, they can see that player, too. They don't want him. You know what I mean?
Right. So I got a couple of trade ideas, and I put it in the trade machine. They both work, okay?
Uh-oh.
So trade idea one is a three-team trade, Sacramento, the Bulls, and Golden State.
Yep.
We get De'Aaron Fox and Vucevic. Draymond Green goes to Chicago Bulls. Andrew Wiggins goes to Sacramento Kings with Buddy Hield. That's trade number one.
Oh.
That was successful on trade machine. The other trade, if you want to do, I thought about it. Cam Johnson to the Warriors, Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, and Kevon Looney to Brooklyn Nets, and that way you keep Gary Payton the second.
Mohammed, these are really fun ideas, and thank you for calling.
They would both make the Warriors a whole lot better.
Yes.
Probably.
They would make the other teams markedly worse. yeah, that would be my only question on these is did we go through the full process of what the other teams would be willing to do?
Probably not.
You know what I mean? Like, I think his Fox and Vucevic idea sends Draymond Green to the Bulls. That just means more money that lasts even longer, and I just don't think that they're going to be motivated to do something like that. But I love the players. Man, I love the players that would be on their way to the Warriors. We are definitely focused on Cam Johnson, and back to that shortly. Eric Pincus, our guy, our capologist, is going to join us in about 5 minutes, and we can get into some of the financials that the Warriors and other teams are facing here. Mike in Michigan. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hey, gentlemen. Happy Friday. Mark, I got a good one for you. I know this is right down your alley. I'm in my mid-40s, so my Giants fandom started in the 80s.
Yep.
And I got to go with it. Candyman, Candy Maldonado.
Oh, man.
He was... my favorite player besides Will Clark. Mark, I tell you, I had his starting lineup action figure. I know you remember those.
Of course I remember those. Figure. You know what the other problem, though, is,
and
Mike? You know what else I remember? And you know what I'm going to say? I remember him losing the ball in the lights in St. Louis in the freaking playoffs and sliding right underneath that line drive into right field, which absolutely cratered my heart for years. 1987, man.
Exactly. And my main highlight of his, like, I remember he had a pretty swing, but my highlight of his is that brawl when Will Clark was getting jumped by Jose Oquendo and Ozzie Smith, and he comes flying over the top, elbow to Ozzie Smith's lip, and that was his whole highlight as a Giants fan. But I could not get enough of Candy Maldonado.
Mike, thanks.
But wanted to add my two cents in, guys. You guys have a great Friday.
Yeah, you too, Mike. That's funny.
Thanks, Mike.
Have you ever seen that video? Will Clark and Jose Oquendo get into it.
Yeah.
Candy just comes flying in like a wrestler. I mean, he just that's a fun memory, but also, dude, catch the ball. Tony, Santa Clara, one more. Tony, what's up?
You know, thanks for taking my call. Real quick, I can tell you guys got a break coming. You can't go wrong with Joe Youngblood.
One of the greatest pinch hitters ever.
He was always on the bench. I think he got traded in the same day, made a bunch of errors. He played for two teams in the same day, I think.
Ooh, I'd have to look that up. Tony, thanks. I don't remember that, but he played for a lot of teams. But yeah, he might, like him and Ken Obergefell. I don't know if you remember that name. Man, they used to, they were pinch hitting specialists. That was fun. Those are some good names. Those of you who want to hold the one away on this, stay right where you are. We can play with this some more for sure.
Joel Youngblood did get a hit for two teams on the same day.
In the same day. Yeah. Were the Giants one of them?
No, Mets and Cubs, it looks like.
Yeah, I think he played for about 10. He was one of those like Dennis Schroeder dudes. Like, he played for everybody.
Yeah.
What's his list?
I can find it for you in just one sec.
Pull up his baseball reference. What's he got? While you're doing that, I can tell everybody that the keyword that you need in order to win a spot in the knockout tournament is literally what you are going to hear next, coming up right before we then have Eric Pincus on the show, NBA capologist. What you got?
Mets, Giants, Reds, Montreal, and St. Louis.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
I would have taken
6 years as a Met, 6 years as a Giant, and then a few here and there.
I would have taken the over on that, and I would have lost. I would have lost my dough. All right, 888-957-9570. We'll keep taking your calls. Eric Pincus is going to join us, but the very first thing that we do coming up next is give out the keyword. Stay right where you are on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, our friend Eric Pincus with the Bleacher Report, who, for my money, him and Bobby Marks are just flat out the two best NBA cap strategists in the entire sports media. So we love having him on. He is standing by. And as the trade deadline is coming up 6 days from now, real treat to have him on. But we're not going to make you wait any longer. It is time to give out the keyword that you're going to need to claim a spot in the knockout tournament on the Chase Center floor, which is on March 3rd. You've had all this week, you have all next week, and you have all week after that, three times a day, to win your way in. But there's one more try this week, okay? You're going to need the keyword that we're about to give you. You're going to need to pocket that, hold that, chill with that.
Don't call now.
For a second, and then sometime in the next 25 minutes, you will hear the sounder. Okay, now's when all the people who haven't been listening call. You're not going to win. Don't call. But when you hear that again, have the keyword Oracle with you. That is today's keyword, Oracle. The contest line to call when you hear the sounder again is 415-523-4652. So keep the keyword Oracle and the phone number 415-523-4652. Keep those two things handy. And then when we play the sounder again, the first person to call in with the correct keyword is the winner to claim spot number 15 in the knockout tournament on the Chase Center floor March 3rd. So keep listening. One more time, the keyword is Oracle. Okay? All right. Off we go to the River Islands guest line, out to our friend with the Bleacher Report and one of the best NBA cap strategists out there, Eric Pincus, joining us here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Eric, what's going on?
Oh, you know, doing well, hoping that I can be an oracle ahead of the trade deadline.
Yeah, exactly. that would be great. I think that's what Warrior fans are sort of expecting. What would be your overarching sort of view of the Warriors, hard capped, second apron, the contracts they have? Like, how would you describe their maneuverability over the next 6 days?
I mean, they're pretty flexible. It's not overwhelmingly flexible. It's not like they're a team that has massive flexibility. But they are below the first apron. They have, they don't have hard restrictions like most teams do. However, they can't climb over that first apron. So any move that the Warriors make can't really add salary. And you have to remember, you have to get back to 14 players. So if you trade half the roster, which I know that, you know, how the fans are, you want to go trade for everybody and everything, you got to get back to 14, and you have to stay under the first apron to do so. But, you know, they have some flexibility. I think they have to make a decision long term on Jonathan Kuminga and whether or not he's a guy they're going to reinvest in. And if the answer is no, then maybe he is a key piece in whatever transpires.
Eric, what if the answer is yes and the Warriors are set on trying to acquire a big name, therefore big money? Say it's Jimmy Butler or Zach LaVine. And say Jimmy Butler were to opt in, you have multiple years of Zach LaVine. If the Warriors are interested in keeping Jonathan Kuminga around long-term, which means signing him to an extension this offseason, are they able to do that with a big contract like Jimmy Butler or Zach LaVine also on the roster?
Well, the can is, of course, yeah, absolutely. Once you have the rights to a player, you can just spend and spend. The hard part is when you want to acquire someone else's players. That's where these restrictive rules come in. So if you take care of business now and you say you're going to keep Kuminga, you're going to trade pieces to get a big dollar player, of course, you can pay it. But what is the price for Kuminga? That goes into the decision making. And I'll just throw out a number, and I don't know what he'll get. But let's say it's $30 million, and it might be $20 million. It might be some other number. But let's say it's $30 million. they're very quickly getting closer and closer to these aprons next year. But it's not prohibitive. I mean, if you have the team that you like, for instance, the Celtics really like their team, and they're over that apron. It's worthwhile. So if the Warriors can buy into something they believe in, then you do it. I just don't know if that's going to be available in the next week.
Okay, that's really, really interesting. So it's not completely preventative of Jonathan Kuminga, but let's dive in on Zach LaVine. Eric, you know this. No one would touch that contract for the last year and a half. Now we're hearing a lot about Zach LaVine, and I'm curious because we're hearing so much about it. I'm having a hard time buying that suddenly other NBA teams want that contract that badly. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, you sort of answered a little of it in that it's a year and a half shorter than it was a year and a half ago. You know what I mean? So
right.
Bad contracts gradually become movable contracts. Like Ben Simmons arguably had one of the worst contracts in the world, or at least in the league, and now he's expiring, and it's not really, no one talks about Ben Simmons right now. Zach has this year, and he has next year at about 46, and then he has an option at about 49. So he's this year plus two more. By the way, he also has a trade bonus. So he would basically be bumped up to the max salary. I have to look at the exact numbers, but let's call it, he basically would climb to about a max. He can waive that bonus, and I would suggest that if the Warriors are going to get him, if they're probably going to need him to waive that. And so I don't know his willingness. I can't speak for him, but if you want to join the Warriors, Zach, you probably got to waive that bonus, because at that point it becomes even more challenging for the Warriors to get back just to 14 players. It makes the numbers very, very difficult just from a practical point of view. But Zach has always been a good player. How much has he impacted winning in his NBA career? Not much. But then also he was, you know, drafted into a bad situation. Let's see, was he with the Wolves when they were bad? Is that what it was? And then he was with the Bulls, and he didn't choose the Bulls. I'm trying to remember his path. Basically, he wanted to go to Sacramento, signed an offer sheet, and the Bulls matched, and then they paid him. So he's never been in a good situation. Is it because of him, or is it because the Bulls haven't put a good team around him? And that he's always been hurt the last few years with some knee injuries, that really hurt his value as well. So when he was hurt, his value and the contract, sheesh. But he's been very productive this year, and it's a risk. Problem is, are you buying into Zach LaVine at a high, and then you turn around and in another year or maybe in a month, he's back to some of these knee issues. That's why teams that tend to be risk-averse look at that contract and say, there's no way I'm going to go make that risk. Whereas the Warriors, who are, you know, struggling, maybe that's motivation. And the fact that his contract is only two additional years, and it does time specifically with Steph Curry's, as long as the investment isn't beyond Steph, then they can have tried, and if it works, it works, and if it doesn't work, you just celebrate the last couple of years of Steph's career as a mediocre team, which is where you are right now.
Interesting, Eric. I've spent a lot of the show here today talking about how if I were the Warriors, I'd be trying as hard as I possibly could to acquire someone like Cam Johnson, and I've been singing his praises, and I'm getting a bunch of questions. Well, if he's such a great player, why are the Nets interested in trading him away? And the way I've been answering the question is, well, partly they might not be terribly interested in winning basketball games this year, but they also want to get expiring or short-term money in return so they can kind of reset and obviously picks as well. Similar for the Heat, who are trying to get off the money of Jimmy Butler in exchange for expiring or short-term money. Has the new CBA impacted the value of expiring deals? It feels like it's so much more important now for these teams to be wary about big contracts, and they might be willing to maybe trade away talent just for the sake of getting off of that money entirely. Is that true with the new CBA?
I would say that's always been true. I don't think that's more true or less true. Expiring contracts were, when I first started doing this, were everything. And then at some point, they had some tricky stuff with some non-guaranteed contracts. And there's things like trade exceptions. And there's all these different tools that teams have that they can use to manipulate the system, to get out of money, to get into money. So you've seen forever teams that are rebuilding, getting out of veterans and trading into expiring contracts, shorter contracts. But like the Sixers, they took on JaVale McGee when he had 2 years left and a lot of money. And for them, it was worthwhile. And the Thunder have done similar things where they've taken on multi-year or expiring contracts. The Spurs have done it recently. It's just a very kind – what the Pistons took on Joe Harris last year from the Nets. So it's very common, and it's always been common. It's more important now for the teams at the highest tiers of spending to be aware of what they're spending. There are some additional restrictions that you have to be aware of. You have to work around, but half the league is under the tax. So most of the teams don't even have to worry about aprons, but how many times have the Grizzlies paid the tax, or the Hawks, or the Pelicans? I can go down the list. Like, there's a lot of teams that just don't pay tax. Right. So it's, I don't want to say that it's changed the landscape to the point of, things are so hard now, because there's a lot of complaints about that. Yet we've had a ton of trades all year. We've already had four or five trades. I think we've seen very fluid activity. We're seeing a lot of teams that are in these upper tiers, like the Knicks and some of these other teams that are making moves that are in restrictive territory, but are able to. Even the Lakers have been very restricted. They just got Dorian Finney-Smith and Shake Milton, et cetera. So, but I do think from the Cam Johnson point of view, for one, he's like a $27 million player, even though he doesn't look like it because of his incentives. And you have to count those incentives against your aprons.
Oh, that's interesting.
So so he's actually more expensive than you might think. And then I would suggest you take a look at his games played per year. It's not great. He's like a 50 game a year guy. And is he having a wonderful season because he's on a team with no responsibility in terms of winning, where he can just go out and ball, and if he sits a game, no one even notices? Yeah, he's having a great year. He's a nice player, but I wonder if he's where I would go if I was Golden State, just based on the injury history. Jimmy, at least Jimmy has gotten a team to the finals. You're going to have to pay Jimmy immediately, and he's going to want 3 years. So it may or may not make sense, but at least you know what Jimmy can take you to. But Jimmy has also hurt a lot, and he's about 35 or so. So I don't see a perfect solution for the Warriors. There is no perfect. I would say that the trade deadline for most teams is a menu of yuck. you just pick the least awful option, or you do nothing. And sometimes doing nothing isn't going to satisfy the owners.
Sure.
Of the team, isn't going to satisfy the fan base. So you make the best deal available that you can live with. You just don't get to pick and choose everything you want, because that's just not what other teams are willing to do.
Eric Pincus, Bleacher Report, with us here, 95.7 The Game, Willard and Dibbs. Whether it's Cam Johnson, and our focus is kind of on him today, but in general, teams like Brooklyn who might be willing to deal, as you know, we get a lot of callers who are like, give them this and give them that. I wonder if you could speak to this. Would a team like that essentially want expiring contracts and draft capital, and that's it? Like, they don't really want good players necessarily in return. Is that accurate?
I mean, it could be. They may want a Kuminga type, because they have, if you look at this summer, this is a reason why the Warriors could also choose to keep Kuminga. No one has money. The Nets have money. The Wizards have money. And then after that, maybe the Spurs or the Pistons have 20-ish. Those only two teams have enough to give Kuminga the kind of offer. And the Wizards are not in a position to make Kuminga the kind of offer based on where they're at. They're just not going to – that's not what the Wizards going to do. So really the only team that might go after Kuminga who can actually get him is the Nets. And so then from that point of view, if the Nets don't want him – And if the Warriors negotiate that now and realize they don't want him, they should feel pretty comfortable that they'll be able to re-sign him with all the leverage, or maybe he takes a one-year deal, which is a qualifying offer amount, which is a very low deal, which doesn't make sense from my point of view. If I'm Kuminga, I wouldn't want to risk that. I would want to find a compromise. Or if you know that the Nets are really interested, now the Warriors are like, okay, we're probably going to lose him, or they're going to make him an offer we don't want to match. So you might as well trade him. So I think that's the crux of it. And then if you know that they don't want him, well, then fine. They're going to want draft capital. They're going to want contracts that don't go on too long. But I don't think that's 100% prohibitive, because you have small contracts that can be multiple year that maybe aren't as offensive. So obviously Gary Payton the second and they can't get Dennis back because they sent him to the Warriors in the first place. So that wouldn't be legal. But Looney is on an expiring. And then, you know, Buddy Hield and Kyle Anderson, specifically Buddy. Buddy's contract is guaranteed at $9 million next year, but the next year it's a very low guarantee. It's a very friendly, team-friendly contract. That kind of is the exception to the rule. Could I see the Nets being willing to take on Buddy in a complex deal that got them enough? Probably so. Or maybe reroute him to a third team. I try not to think in terms of just two teams anymore. It used to be like 10, 15 years ago, I'd come up with a three-team deal and I'd talk to an executive and they'd be like, oh, you're being too aggressive. I'm like, that's not realistic. And nowadays, it's really not a requirement, but it's really a necessity. If anything, these new rules have sort of increased the volume of multi-team trades just to make stuff legal under these complex parameters.
Yeah, speaking of multi-team deals, I would imagine any Jimmy Butler deal is going to be that. How do you see that playing out? Obviously, a big factor in that is Bradley Beal's no-trade clause. It seems like the Suns are maybe the most motivated team in trying to get Jimmy Butler, but Bradley Beal has to make that work. How do you see the Jimmy Butler situation unfolding?
Well, I mean, just find me a home for Bradley Beal, and then we can talk. And I could suggest maybe Chicago, if they got out of Zach LaVine, and they could say, okay, it's relatively comparable. But all Bradley Beal has to do is say, I don't want to go to Chicago, and then it's dead. And so from the point of view of obstruction, maybe the Suns getting Jimmy Butler is a long shot at this point because it has the most obvious no. It just takes a no from any party. You do a two-team, three-team, four-team trade, and it gets very complex, and you just have one no that can blow things up. Well, this is a big one. You know, maybe he would go to the Bucks because you have a chance to compete with Giannis and Dame, but at the same time, I don't know that they want to make that change. So, and then also, I think the Bucks, if they could get Jimmy, they would get Jimmy over Beal in the first place. So why would they help the Suns get Beal, or rather Jimmy, and take Beal when they would rather have Jimmy? So it gets very complicated. And again, it's a deadline. You have a bunch of people all across the league who are competing against each other. You have ownership groups that run these teams that are also divided and are not always on the same page as their leadership. It gets so hard to get a deal across. And then when you have four or five teams and you have Bradley Beal, who can just say no. I wouldn't say that the Suns are the likely outcome. I know they want him. I know Jimmy wants to go there because they're willing to pay him. But all Bradley Beal has to do is just say, I don't want to do that, and it's over.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I get it. Hey, Eric, this is phenomenal stuff. We love having you on. Thank you so much for doing it today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Eric Pincus, Bleacher Report, NBA capologist. Did that take any of the wind out of your sails when he's like Cam Johnson?
Yeah, he tried to pour cold water on my Cam Johnson idea.
He really did, because he's like a 50-game-per-year guy.
Well, and he also let us know that his salary, for all intents and purposes, for trying to make a trade work, isn't 22, it's 27.
No problem.
He's got to get $5 extra million there.
No problem.
But he can make that work.
Sure.
But he was also turned off at Cam Johnson the player.
Well, okay.
Or his availability, at least.
Yeah, for example, if you do need to get to 27 to make that deal work instead of 22, I mean, if Kevon Looney is 8 and Kyle Anderson is 8 and GP2 is 9, you're damn close already right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're
still
damn
make
close.
It work.
Yeah. You put in a TJD or something like that and you're there. And I do think that, if we're going to talk about Jimmy Butler and Zach LaVine, then you can get to 27.
The point of the Cam Johnson, for me at least, is because you get to hold on to Andrew Wiggins.
You get to hold on to Wiggins.
And Wiggins is the big building block for any of the other deals.
Have you looked? Do you know how many times in his career Cam Johnson has played more than 65 games?
Is it only like once?
It is only once, and it was 66. He has never played 70 games in his career. He has never started more than 47 games in his career. And those numbers that we are throwing out there, they're accurate, but Eric is, I mean, just to play devil's advocate for a second, these numbers are way higher this year than they have been in some past years. I mean, he is 6 points per game higher than what he was just a year ago.
Yeah, he's having a career year.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Not necessarily a bad thing.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. I mean, you could argue a breakout because this is also one of the first times in his career where when he plays, he's a starter. He starts every game. And I mean, he has started 35 games this year when we're only about 45 to 50 in. So, yeah, this might be the year again. That's not perfect. He's missed a few games. But again, he's playing on a team that's not trying to do anything. You always wonder, how would it look different if you move into a completely different culture?
Yeah, like, do you remember Lauri Markkanen at the end of last year when I remember the conversation in the offseason. I was big on the Warriors trying to acquire Lauri Markkanen,
yep.
And I ran into a number of people who kept telling me, well, look at how many games he played this past year. I forget how many it was, but he didn't play a full season, and it wasn't particularly close. We forget the Jazz were trying to lose basketball games, and they would hold Lauri Markkanen out for any little minor bump and bruise,
yep.
And as a result, it looks like he wasn't healthy all year when he never dealt with anything serious.
Yeah, exactly right. Okay, y'all, there it is. That's the sounder right now. You need to call the contest line. Hopefully you've got that keyword in your hip pocket. The contest line, if you don't have that, is 415-523-4652. 415-523-4652. We are releasing the hounds. The first person to call in with the correct keyword on that contest line is in to the knockout tournament coming up on the Chase Center floor Monday, March 3rd. Again, call right now. Contest line 415-523-4652. Best of luck. And if you don't get it this time, your next chance to win is going to be Monday morning with the all-new roast, by the way. All the Joes.
A couple of Joes.
Shaskies and the Spadonis. Starting on Monday morning and throughout the week, 8 a.m. hour, noon hour, 4 p.m. hour. That's true every day next week. It's true every day the week after that as well. So we are only a third of the way through our process. This winner that we're about to find out is contestant number 15, and there will be 45 spots given out. So try right now and keep on trying, and thank you so much for listening. We look forward to meeting a handful of you on the Chase Center floor. All right, Grandy in for Dibs. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Let's circle back to a couple of things. And first of all, it's the idea of how much as we approach the trade deadline, how much juice is really in the orange this year for the Warriors. But what I know a lot of you really wanted to talk about, and we even got a text, stop throwing Looney into trade machines. He's a champ. Don't do that. And it's like, right, but he's an expiring contract. I know you'd rather give up Buddy Hield, but Looney is much more attractive to an acquiring team. I just think you have to keep that into account. What does the other team want to do? Or else you're not going to be able to get something done. So are you emotionally ready to move on from Kevon Looney? And then alongside that, to have some fun in honor of Kevon, your favorite Bay Area athletes who never really did anything statistically great. We'll take calls on all of that. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibs.
I don't see a perfect solution for the Warriors. There is no perfect. I would say that the trade deadline for most teams is a menu of yuck. You know, you just pick the least awful option, or you do nothing. And sometimes doing nothing isn't going to satisfy the owners.
Sure.
The team isn't going to satisfy the fan base. So you make the best deal available that you can live with. You just don't get to pick and choose everything you want, because that's just not what other teams are willing to do.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
I want to stir everybody back up. Get us the name of who won. Somebody won. Ahmed in San Leandro. What's up, Ahmed?
Congrats, Ahmed.
How's your Friday going?
We'll see you March 3rd.
You're balling on the Chase Center floor like a G. Let's go, Ahmed. We're going to meet you there.
Can't wait.
And then Granny's going to try to knock you out.
Hell yeah, I am.
Granny said knock you out.
Do or do not. There is no try.
My favorite listener is the one who's calling the contest line right now. You're my favorite listener. Just like, did I win?
Try again Monday.
You're about 8 minutes behind, but that's okay. Yeah,
you've got 30 more chances.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Every day next week, every day the week after that, morning, 8 a.m., noon, literally noon, and night, 4 o'clock hour, is when you're going to have a chance every single day. So thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate your efforts because we want to meet you there, and it really, really is fun. But I want to stir everybody back up on where we are in time and space with Warrior basketball. There's a lot going on. Obviously, in 2 hours, they're going to play the Phoenix Suns.
Pretty big game.
It's a huge game because the Suns are right there a half game ahead of the Warriors in the standings. And it's also another opportunity to sort of like make the fans and, quite frankly, the front office feel like this is being legitimized. Like, okay, if you're going to beat the Thunder and the Suns in back-to-back games, you're showing life. And Bob Myers admitted to Stein and Goo yesterday, maybe it's not the smartest thing to do, but you still do it, which is you react to those last few games before the deadline.
Please don't.
Well, please don't, but for real, if they win it, I think it goes more the other direction than maybe what you're thinking. Like, if they win tonight, I don't think that makes the Warriors go, hey, don't touch anything, we're good. I think it makes them go the other way. As in, hey, we're moving up in the standings a little bit, it encourages them to go make a deal because they already have their data that this is not enough.
It's like a baseball team who's within 5 games of the division on deadline day. All right, they just need a little bit of a boost. But if you're the Giants and you're 15 games out of the deadline, well, okay, let's do nothing, which is what the Giants had done, but right. You should sell.
Right. Yeah. So, I actually think if you're in favor of moves, like, I think a win tonight is huge. I think it's huge on multiple levels. But also, obviously, when we all come back on Monday, it's going to be down to brass tacks. Who knows? Maybe the move even has already happened.
Good.
But after tonight, the Warriors have the weekend off. And then Monday, Wednesday, Thursday games next week. Is that right?
Correct. Monday, Orlando at home. Wednesday in Utah. Thursday against the Lakers in L.A.
Thursday.
After the deadline on Thursday.
And by the way, we're going to be, it's not going to be open to the public yet, but we're going to be doing our show Thursday from Splash, which is the all-new, unbelievable, wait until you do get a chance to come see this, the unbelievable sports bar experience that's opening up at Thrive City just in time for the All-Star game.
Like, going to be the spot to watch any sporting event going on.
I'm telling you, the hub. And if you ever want to do, like when we get to the summer, you want to do that two-step, you want to do the day game at Oracle Park and the night game at Chase Center, this is going to be where you go to get your potato skins in between games.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I ain't even seen the menu yet, but you know what I'm talking about. Go get some nachos and just take it all in. It's
get a drink or two.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Get a cocktail. Come on. You've earned it.
More of a beer guy myself.
Fine. Get a beer.
I was thinking the same thing.
Anyone want a beer? I'm a beer. Yeah. Anyway. You get the idea. So we're going to be doing that Thursday, which is right after the deadline, but before the Warriors play the Lakers.
Yes.
So that's going to be a big, big, big. So anyway, my point is, and we're going to play some of this Bob Myers for you to sort of reboot the conversation. Two of the big things that I thought were amazing to come out of it was Bob sort of admitting that, yes, the games leading up to the deadline affect general managers. And yes, what fans think affect general managers. So if I'm you, listener, let's take this hour to really get into this. 888-957-9570, because what you say and what you feel is going to resonate inside the hallways of the Warriors front office. And I think they've got the message that in general, this is just me, you know, taking a straw poll here. I think the Warrior fan base is really thirsty.
No doubt.
For something.
No doubt. To the point where I think some people, probably almost every outside observer, and you could probably include Eric Pincus on this list, would describe the thirst that a lot of Warrior fans have, myself included, as irresponsible. And I know you have said this a lot, and I know you're talking to Warrior fans, and you're also talking to me when you say you just want the Warriors to make a move because you're bored, and that's a bad reason to make a move. Well, hell yeah, I'm bored. This has been a 500 team, and they're 12-20 in their last 32 games. I don't think it's good to have a boring basketball team. Now, if your only motivation for making a move is to try to make a boring team exciting, okay, that's maybe not the best thing. But you can go from boring to exciting and also go from boring or bad or average to good. And that should be the goal. You should be able to kill a couple of birds with a single stone. At least that would be the goal. But yeah, that's where they are. And I don't know how you can look, even if they were to say, they win against the Thunder, say they win tonight, say they win against Orlando, and they win in Utah. So you're going into the trade deadline with, what, a five-game winning streak?
Yes, that would be correct.
The Warriors are smart enough to know that five-game winning streak does not erase the 10-20 stretch they just went on before that.
I think you could hear that in Steve Kerr's voice yesterday when he joined us. I agree with you completely. So anyway, a few different angles on this. 888-957-9570 with how much juice is in the orange still for this year for the Warriors. And then also we got into like spotlighting Kevon Looney because he's an expiring deal. And we do think that there's a healthy chance that if the Warriors make a deal, it's possible he is a part of it. So therefore, A, emotionally, how ready are you to move on from Kevon Looney? And in honor of Kevon, who's your favorite Bay Area sports athlete who never really put up numbers? And this is fun because Philmo Mike, A, is one of our favorite callers. B, he's got an idea on this. And C, he was in here like an hour and a half ago or something. He's in here.
That true, Lucas?
That was, yes.
Whoa.
He waved. I saw him.
I missed him.
I saw you walking through these hallways, Philmo Mike. What are you doing, man? Thanks for calling.
Oh, man, I was looking out. I was looking out for my people, Spudman and Ludman. Spudman, wow.
Yeah.
Ludman and well,
I'm gonna
the Morning Rose.
I'm going to call him Spudman from now on, that's for sure.
There you go. That'll work.
Yeah. You were looking good today, Philmo.
Oh, man, thank you, man. I appreciate that,
you
my brother.
Up. Appreciate yeah.
you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Now, real quick, the random players that I had affinity for, Bill Miller.
Yes.
And Woody, a.k.a. Kirk Reeder.
Kirk Reeder.
A lot of people did.
Yep.
Yep. For the Niners, I got, check this out, I got Isaac Sapuaga.
Oh, Sapuaga.
Always loved him. Always had an affinity, and he was a great pickup in Madden in like the 60th round. Also, Delaney Walker.
Yes.
I got so mad. I followed Delaney Walker. He got inducted into, like, you know, they was shouting him out on the Titan. I'm like, nah, he a Niner, but I forgot. He really didn't do nothing on the Niners, but I used to love Delaney Walker. You remember, he used to return kickoffs. Also, for the Warriors, I got Paul McPherson, random as hell, Kalina Azabuki, and Mark Jackson with a C. Big man Mark Jackson. You remember him, Mark.
Oh, my God.
The big man Mark Jackson.
Yes, I sure do. I sure do. The other Mark Jackson.
Last but not least, I just want to mention this randomly. All-Star Game, I got the perfect idea.
What is it?
Why don't we just do a script for the All-Star Game? Go WWE and just do a script. It's not real. No one has to know. It's an exhibition. Why not? You put all the drama in there, and you do it on the All-Star game. You can make Steph Curry MVP. Do a whole script. Do everything you want. Put Steph versus LeBron. Put them on the same team. Build out the scripts. Do some acting. I think that'll be the best way for the All-Star game to be lit. And they could play 75%, but if they got the storylines in there, they make it look good, and everybody look like they playing hard, and it's competitive, I think that'll be lit. They just do a whole script. You have a 2-point game, a three, however you want to do it. Steph for the three for the win. If you make it, he make it. If he don't, he don't. But it'll be so entertaining just to try to do a script instead of just doing what they do now. If you think about it.
Filmo, I tell you what, first of all, thank